All right, Mark 13, if you want to turn there. But let's start by reflecting on our childhood. When you were a child, what was it you longed for most? What were the things that you looked forward to or desired? I want an answer. It's not a rhetorical question. To grow up. It's so true, right? At every grade, you wanted to progress through the grade. You always wanted to be in the grade above you. The end, the holidays, summer holidays, you just waited for those. Like term four, couldn't go quick enough. Maybe it was a toy, the latest gadget or playing thing, device, video games. I don't know what was around when you were around for some of you. To ride a moped.
Yeah.
Yeah, right, okay. Sounds good. What about, how did that change as you became a teenager? What were the desires then? Were they girlfriend and boyfriend, license, job? I remember being 14 and 9 months in that desperate desire to get my first job, and I started working in the butcher department at Woolies. So exciting. They were good days. And then you get older again and you become an adult, and there's still longings we have as adults. Promotions, maybe more money, better house, quieter kids, different area to live. I don't know. All sorts of things. But there's something about this idea of longing. It doesn't stop. We're children, we long for stuff. We're teenagers, we continue to long. We're adults and we're still longing for something. Maybe it's retirement, waiting for that day when you can hang up the tools and never grab them out again. There's something in us that says, we're waiting for something more. I'm expecting or longing for more things. Paul speaks in the scripture and he uses these two phrases that he has a sincere longing and an eager expectation. But his sincere longing and eager expectation was for the blessed hope of Jesus. Isn't that incredible? That Paul's desire, that when he writes about God, he has this sincere longing and eager expectation for the blessed hope of Jesus. The last 2 weeks we've been looking at the pain that will come in the world, or the pain that has been in the world, and the pain that has already happened in the world through sinfulness of people, through just the world decaying as it's got a curse on itself from sin. And now we see a passage where Jesus reminds his disciples of the end, reminds his disciples that there's something to fix our hope in, that there's something and someone that we can eagerly wait for and have a sincere longing for that will satisfy and stop that desire, that unending desire of longing for something else. Jesus gives us this thing. He gives us himself as our anchor and our hope, that in this decaying and sinful world we can, and as we go through trials and adversity and suffering, we can trust securely in him and his promises. I'm going to read Matthew 13:24, but before I do, let's pray. Father God, I just come before you as a weak and broken man and ask for you to bring clarity to my mind. Lord, let distraction be gone, and I pray the same for my brothers and sisters that sit before me. We're all weak, we're all dying, and we're desperate for you to help us. Well, Lord, we thank you that we've been helped through Christ. We thank you that we have your Spirit. But Lord, sometimes it just feels like we're on our own. Lord, as we have longings in our life, as we desire things, and maybe some of them are good things, let our eager expectation and our sincere longing be firmly fixed in what your word says will be the greatest day in history when you return. God, we pray that your Spirit will be with us to help us comprehend your glory and power. Help us understand hard verses in Scripture. Help us have peace without understanding, Lord, in the times when we cannot know. And pray that your name will be glorified above all. In Jesus' name, amen. Mark 13, 24 to 27. But in those days, after the tribulation, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give light and the stars will be falling from heaven and the powers in the heavens will be shaken. And then they will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory. And then he will send out the angels and gather his elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth to the ends of the heaven. Just glance back. We're not going to read it, but let's just glance back at what came before this. In these verses 14 to 23, we see that Jesus speaks of an abomination of desolation, most obviously referring to the one who set up a statue in the temple and then told them to worship it, and then when they wouldn't, destroyed the temple in Jerusalem. It says there's an abomination who's standing where they ought not to be. And there's a description of how we should flee or how they should flee in that time, not go into the city, but go to the mountains. And then not long after that, in verse 19, he says that there will be a tribulation, such a tribulation that has never been seen from the beginning of time and never will be seen again. In fact, this tribulation is so bad that if he doesn't cut it short, no one will be saved. So he cuts it short only for the sake of his elect. He warns them of false prophets and antichrist who will do signs and wonders and will lead many people away, if possible, even the elect. And he says, in all this, be on guard. In verse 23, be on guard, for I've told you these things beforehand. And now in verse 24, he brings them the greatest encouragement he possibly could by reminding them that in those days there will be something that we can hold on to. A longing that is worth waiting for. Worth going through trials and tribulation and suffering. It's important to note in this passage of chapter 13, there's a distinction between these days or these things and those days. In this particular passage right here in verse 24, but in those days, he's referring to those days. Elsewhere, he uses these things. And later on, when we look at this next section, he'll use these days or these things. There's a clear distinction of what Jesus is speaking about by using these phrases. Now, of course, many people will differ on these, the actual final position that you come to on how the end will be fulfilled. And of course, there's a lot of debate over Mark 13. But from what I've read, these days refer to the destruction of Jerusalem and the temple in AD 70. And those days speaks of the time when Christ will come. So he starts his section here. Those days, after the tribulation, the sun will be dark and the moon will not give light, and the stars will be falling from the heaven and the powers in the heaven will be shaken. Up until this point, everything is focused around the world. There'll be wars and rumors of wars. There'll be earthquakes and all sorts of natural disasters. There'll be famines. There's going to be an abomination that causes great desolation. There's going to be a tribulation that is the worst thing anyone has ever seen. And right now, in verse 24, he moves from earthly tribulation to a cosmic disaster. A cosmic disaster of the sun darkening and the moon no longer showing light, giving light, and the stars falling from the heavens, and the powers in the heavens will be shaken. Up until this point, it's been earthly tragedy. Now it's a cosmic tragedy. The earth is now decaying under the curse of sin, and sinfulness is increasing, and there's evilness everywhere. And he says, but after this, after the tribulation, we're going to see the sun go dark. We're going to see the moon no longer give light. We're going to see the stars fall from the sky. All this stuff that we look at and see its majesty and its grandeur. We look at the moon and there's mystery behind it. We see the stars and there's mystery behind them. We look at the sun and it is a burning ball of fire and we cannot bear to look at it. There's grandeur and majesty and beauty as we look at the sky, yet they will pale in comparison to what is to come. In this moment, in this passage that Jesus speaks about in verse 24, when the Son of Man comes in glory and power, the sun will no longer shine because it is nothing compared to His shining. The moon will no longer give light and the stars will fall from the sky because He is far greater than these, than their glory, than their majesty, than their power. Not only will they pale in comparison to it, but the heavenly hosts will be shaken. The heavenly hosts, the powers in heaven will be shaken. No longer is this just an earthly thing, but it is a universal and supernatural.